Vicky, you recently had a visit from a truly iconic American musician, a man who actually helped to define a period of American history during the burgeoning era of pop culture in the 50s and 60s. Who am I talking about? It's Mike Love of the Beach Boys, and he sat in with you in the morning music mix. In a sentence, what was your impression of this guy?
Mike Love was so very kind and composed and gentle and sweet. And you know how you knew the Beach Boys were real? But until I saw Mike Love, it was then forged in my mind, oh, these are real people. There were the Beach Boys.
There he was, sitting across the table from you.
And here he is himself.
Real-life Beach Boy. Well, let's have a listen. Here's 91.5 KRCC's Vicky Gregor with Mike Love of the Beach Boys.
We can't wait for June. We'll all be gone for the summer. We're on safari to stay.
I'm so pleased to be speaking with the author of Good Vibrations, My Life as a Beach Boy, Mr. Mike Love, in the studio this morning.
Thank you, Vicky. It's great to be here.
So I was thinking of, okay, what do I talk to Mike Love about, who's been asked every question there is, I'm sure. So I'm thinking to revisit a five-decade-plus career in this memoir and review your life on the page, really. Plus, you keep up with the art of performance and doing all of that amazing stuff that you do touring the world. What's your process for that? What's the balance in your life? How do you make time to do all of that stuff every day?
Well, you know, we did, as you mentioned performances. We did, last year, we did 172 performances. And so that's quite a few. But interspersed in between that 172, if you subtract 172 from 365, you'll find that there are some days off. And many of those days off over the last 2 and 3 years were spent writing this autobiography. But it's been a process, as you can well imagine. I start the book in the words of my grandfather Love, who said that California is the ultimate. He moved from outside of Shreveport, Louisiana in 1909. He came to California. My mother's side came from Kansas during the Dust Bowl days of, you know, and so when she was a little girl, she came out to California, and they were so poor that they camped on the beach for the first couple of months of being
wow.
in California. Yeah. So we came from the most humble of origins, you know, our family. And yet one decade later, well, not one decade, one generation later, here we are singing about the songs of our environment, which was special to us, the beach. And how do you get to the beach? In cars. So we took what we knew in our environment growing up. And because of the love of music, we got together and created these, my cousin Brian and I created these little songs that still today people enjoy hearing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you and Brian were growing up, was it a thing where you were in the same neighborhood, like you riding on bikes, run into each other and knew that each other had a passion?
The real origins of the Beach Boys started at musical gatherings, at family events, whether it be Christmas or Thanksgiving or birthdays. And sometimes my mom would do a recital. She loved opera. In fact, she played opera to get us up to go to school in the morning. It forever traumatized me. You know, when you hear some of those sopranos hit a high note, it just shakes you and blows you out of bed to get ready to go to school. But there was never a time in my life when I don't remember having music, because it was an all-time feature of our growing up, and that was I guess the glue that held the families together, the essential ingredient. I mean, it started before I was born. They had very little money, but what they did have was music, and they loved it, and it became that essential ingredient in the Beach Boys' sound, is the warmth of the harmonies.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm just thinking of every harmony in every Beach Boys song that I adore. what was your vision for the Beach Boys once it all came together and clearly you were going to be a band?
Well, we were in the very early days of rock and roll, but there was a group called the Four Freshmen who was very successful and well-known in the 1950s. I think they started in the late 40s. Really talented. The chord progressions and the harmonies of their music was just incredible. And we learned a few of their arrangements. And they forever influenced our harmonies. So when you have the sophisticated harmonies of the Four Freshmen, along with the blend of the Everly Brothers, along with the syncopation of the lyrics of a Chuck Berry and the stories that were told in those days in the little songs, that heavily influenced us. But I think we were like the first rock and roll boy band. You know, the Beatles were a close second, and then the Stones, and then everything after that. So, but I honestly think that we were among the first rock music boy bands.
You know, something I think about with you is in this day and age, meditation class, yoga class, all the things that folks participate in now, happily. You were an early student of and practitioner of very deep and serious meditation practices. Mm-hmm. Was that something that really helped keep you focused and buoyant during, you know, what's been a very involved and busy career?
Everybody has stress. Everybody gets tired and fatigue. Fatigue can be a killer. I mean, you become irritable and you're not your best if there's a lot of tension and fatigue in your system. Well, with transcendental meditation is the kind of meditation I learned from Maharishi in December of 1967, and I've been practicing it ever since. But I found within the first couple of meditations that I could gain a deeper level of rest through TM. Your metabolism, or in fact, your breath rate goes down to a level of rest twice as deep as sleep. It's a very practical practice because twice a day you can take some time out and obliterate fatigue. And it's all natural and it's all portable. I've done it everywhere in the world. And I was invited by Maharishi only a couple of months after I learned to go to India. And when I accepted, I got to Rishikesh, India, where the Ganges River comes out of the Himalayas. And when I got there, all the Beatles were there, and so was Donovan, and Mia Farrow was there for a while. Her sister Prudence was the subject of a Beatles song called Dear Prudence, which John Lennon wrote, and a marvelous lady who was very much into her meditation to the point where she meditated for days on end. And so that was the subject of Dear Prudence, Why Don't You Come Out and Play? So there are a lot of fascinating experiences along the way, that's for sure. But on a practical level, I meditate every day, and that's why I'm able to do 172 shows in a given year.
Right, a walking example of what that does. And certainly, now we're thinking about all the songs that you have contributed lyrics to. And a writer of a memoir, I can only imagine how long that takes when you start thinking about it and planning. And what you're going to share, that is a very revealing thing to do, is lay your life out in a book for people to read. In the meantime, still be talking about what you'd like to reveal in a song. Are those two different compartments? I mean, do you just write, period? I know with a book you get very focused, but do you have that notebook in your back pocket when it comes to things like ideas and lyrics?
Not so much. With me, it's supply and demand. It's an economic principle. If there's a demand for lyrics, you supply them. At least I do. And a good example of that was my cousin Brian worked on the Good Vibrations in 1966. He started working on the song Good Vibrations and did several different sections of the track in different studios. Finally, the composite was done, and I came up with the chorus line. I'm picking up good vibrations, she's giving me the excitations. I came up with that, but I had not come up with the verse lyric, and I wrote it on the way to the studio that the day of the recording. And I dictated it to my ex-wife, my then-wife, Suzanne, and I said, take this down. I said, I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
This is while I'm driving in the XKE to the studio. It was wow. So there was a spontaneity involved there. But I was just envisioning, in other words, supply and demand. There was a demand for lyrics for mm-hmm. that song, and at the last minute I supplied them. And so that is kind of an extreme example. But it was about a time period. 1966 was at a time when there was that whole psychedelic type of music that mm-hmm. was coming on into the consciousness of mainstream public. And, you know, like Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin, you know, Big Brother and the Holding Company and the Grateful Dead, all those groups from, a lot of them from the Bay Area were gaining notoriety and popularity. And Good Vibrations was our contribution to that time. And I wrote the words with the image in mind of a girl who was all into peace and love and flower power. Yeah. And I think it was so necessary and good vibrations. Some, even in spite of all the negative things going on in society, I always felt that it was a really good thing to focus on the beautiful things in life and accentuate the positive. And that's kind of what I did. Good vibrations,
that was 91.5 KRCC music director Vicki Gregor hanging out with Mike Love of the Beach Boys. Wow, Vicki. There's lots more to come. Just ahead, we'll be listening to an in-studio performance from Paper Bird out of the Denver area. And we'll hear from some young mariachi musicians in Pueblo. It's Air Check. Stay tuned. Vibration.